Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Let's get an upper decker, make sure that we don't have anything getting in the way of what we got to say. My foot just popped. Man, I feel hungover, and I don't drink alcohol anymore. I feel hungover after that game in Kansas City. Bengals played a hell of a game. Hell of a game. And just, you got a really slim margin with great teams like the Chiefs. And something came to mind. I noticed Ravens come up short in week one to the Chiefs. My Bengals come up short in week two to the Chiefs. And one thing that you got to give to the Kansas City Chiefs is that their star players have been at every workout, every practice, training camp, OTAs. And the Ravens players, notably Lamar Jackson, was somebody that didn't attend OTAs. Jamar obviously had the contract. Jamar Chase had the contract issues and, you know, rightfully held out of camp. And so the Chiefs prevail in two really close games the first 2 weeks of the season against two great teams. And we can talk about the refs all day long. We could talk about the refs all day long in the Bengals-Chiefs game. Bengals fans are the best at finding receipts. There was supposedly a hold on that 4th and 16 with the game in the rafters. Supposedly, one of the Chiefs tackles had, I think it was Trey Hendrickson, in a chokehold, and they didn't call it. And then other Bengals fans were talking about the fact that the pass interference was called after the ref saw that the ball was going to go incomplete. And I've also seen that for as many games that go back to 2022, the Chiefs are the league leader. I believe it was 15 games that they have been penalized less. All the memes you can think of, guy photoshops, I've been seeing this one for a long time, guy photoshops a damn, do I have this in the damn camera frame? I'm using a new microphone arm, Because this one's janky. We got this one. We just got started on Amazon for like $15. And it's just, you know, I think it served its purpose. Wow. A lot of fun here. A lot of book reading. Oh, my goodness, brother. Okay. Lord! As some folks like to say, I'm overstimulated. Overstimulated. But no, I mean, the refs were a factor in that game yesterday. Trey Hendrickson was a factor in that game yesterday. The Bengals look to be the better team, but I think with great teams, I do have Chiefs derangement syndrome. I will admit that. But all that to say, they are a great team, and great teams win games when they don't play their best. And you saw it with University of Kentucky against University of Georgia. Kentucky had Georgia at home week three. Is it week three of the college season? Number one, Georgia comes in Lexington, Kentucky, night game. Spread was 22.5 points. Money line for Georgia was minus 1,200, meaning if you bet $1,200 on Georgia to win the game outright, you'd make $100 in profit back. Georgia squeaks one out by 1 point, and all I can think about were the little mistakes that were made by Kentucky. Mark Stoops came out, head coach of Kentucky, came out and said after the game that he doesn't regret punting it with, I think it was less than 3 minutes to play. And Georgia held onto the ball the rest of the game. I would argue that when you're close in a football game and the other team just continues to prevail on the ground and grind out the clock so that you have no chance, I'd argue that that is more frustrating than getting blown out. Because if you're getting blown the hell out, at least you got a sense of closure. You know what I'm saying? But Georgia wins by 1 point, and I felt like there were just a few mistakes. There was a call that a lot of Kentucky fans are talking about. It was a pick six on the field. They end up calling it back because the Georgia receiver was, I think he was running an out route or something, and I guess he laid out to get the ball, and as he laid out, he kind of scooped underneath it with his hand trying to secure the catch, and something happened where the ball flips up into the air. Kentucky DB grabs it, and you know, the rest is history. Picked it off, took it back, and it's called back. So I wouldn't say that's a mistake, but one thing I did really notice in terms of mistakes with the University of Kentucky was that there was a fumble. I think number four for Georgia, the tight end, was the guy that fumbled. And ball comes out, 54, I don't know his name, for University of Kentucky, was on the play. He was pursuing it. And 54 for Kentucky just assumed that number four, the tight end, was down. And the ball actually came out. And there's a lot of screen grabs across X. I'm going to do less media on the show this week. If you guys want to see what I'm talking about, hop on X, hop on Instagram, take a look at the videos. But there's this play. There's tons of screen grabs of it where the ball is out on the ground, and 54 is looking away. He thinks the play's already finished. His hands are up, ball's out, and you could argue that if your head's on a damn swivel, you see that ball come out right away, bang, you fall on it. Kentucky might come out with the win. You know, so all that to say, your margin for error when you're an underdog against a great team at any level, your margin for error is razor thin, razor thin. And so we saw it with the Bengals and the Chiefs, just a couple of mistakes that were the difference. Cam Taylor-Britt talked some shit throughout the week, said Xavier Worthy's good at running in a straight line, and that's about it. And then the boy comes out like a true gangster and backs it the hell up in coverage against Xavier Worthy, comes out with an OBJ-esque interception, reaching back, falling to the ground. And I'm sure his cowboy hat got thrown off just like mine did. It was a game. The Bengals, Chiefs, Kentucky, Georgia. I grew up a Kentucky fan in Lexington, but you go to another school to play football, especially at the Division I level, and I don't know. I went to a smaller school, Samford. And there were a lot of folks on campus that would roll around wearing Bama gear or wearing Georgia gear. I remember my junior year, we played Georgia. I believe it was September, I could be wrong, of 2018. In the week of the game, we're walking to class at Samford University, and we pass a student at Samford wearing a Georgia hoodie. It's like, you're such a damn big Georgia fan, why didn't you go? You know what I mean? All that to say, I like to support Kentucky because it's my hometown, but I'm never going to claim an affiliation. I'm never going to probably call myself a fan because I have my athletic program. It might not be as big. It might not be in the SEC. It might not be as prestigious. We've had a lot of pros that I was blessed to play with and continue to have guys come out for that level at a really high rate and go pro. But, you know, all that to say, tough weekend for folks in Central Kentucky and Southern Ohio. Both played great teams. And like I said, the margin for error is razor thin. And what can you do? What can you do? The New Orleans Saints dominated the damn Dallas Cowboys. And the New Orleans Saints are on pace to be, statistically, if they keep up what they're doing, their offensive production will equal that of the 04 Indianapolis Colts. I was reading an article in The Athletic this morning, and they were comparing the New Orleans Saints' offensive production to the 07 Patriots. Saints rolled the Cowboys. Alvin Kamara, 4 touchdowns. It just looked like a beating. Tom Brady was in the booth. And, you know, I think their head coach, Dennis Allen, I believe, was on the chopping block at some point last season. And the GM, I think his last name is Loomis, for the Saints, really defended him and compared him to Bill Belichick, how Bill Belichick had a rocky start. Who else? There's one other coach I'm blanking on. Oh, Sean Payton. Noted how Sean Payton was about 500 his first 2 years. The NFC South might be a better division than we think. In fact, I know that. Tampa Bay goes into Detroit and handles business as an 8-point underdog. Baker Mayfield has grown as a person, brother. He seems mature. He seems confident in his own skin. He seems settled in Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay has been one of the most consistent playoff teams in recent years. It'll be interesting to see how Atlanta fares with Kirk Cousins, but the NFC South looks to be a lot more promising than anybody would have picked to start the year. And, you know, that's all you need to know. What else? What else, man? We got a lot of NFL games to cover. LSU South Carolina was one of the most fun college football games I've seen all season so far, if not the most fun. Your boy had the over, so it was even more fun. It was 48.5. I think they hit that in the third.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Third quarter. South Carolina looks like a team that folks may have drastically underestimated. They got two quarterbacks that they throw in there. 16 is the starter, Lenora Sellers. And then they got another black kid who's number one. He's got him some cornrows, I believe. Kind of looks like a CJ Stroud. I only got a couple looks at him, so that might not be accurate. But South Carolina had their backup in late in the game. I didn't get to see the middle part of the fourth quarter, so something might have happened to 16, but the quarterback for South Carolina, number one, he led a drive that at the very end of the game that gave them a chance to kick it and, I believe, tie the ball game. Kicker missed. It was a long field goal. I think it was about 48 yards. But, I mean, it was such an entertaining game. The play of the game was actually made by the losing team, South Carolina, which doesn't happen 9.9 times out of 10. The losing team makes the play of the game. It was a blocked punt. South Carolina's middle guy on their punt return front just came right through the middle untouched. Dot lays out to make a play on the ball to block it, and one of the LSU Shield guys just catapulted him up and over to finish the blocked punt. It was a hell of a play. So that happened. Memphis, another great cover pick at 6.5 points. Outright beats Florida State to send them to 0-3. And I mean, I don't know what's going on there. Florida State, to my estimation, has drastically underperformed despite huge expectations every preseason. They've drastically underperformed. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if their head coach, Norvell, struggles in the motivation, tactics department. If he struggles in the X's and O's department, it's clear that their quarterback, DJ Ungavulalele, does not feel at home. He doesn't feel settled in back there. He's making bad decisions. And he's not hitting throws. And so their offense, Florida State's offense, they can't run the ball. They can't hit throws. What do you do? It's all up to the defense at that point, and it looks like they're not particularly special. What do you do? Kind of reminds me of, not entirely, but it's a good segue, the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers are 2-0. And scored one touchdown in eight quarters. It's a testament to what a great defensive front can do for you. Them damn offensive linemen are trembling with TJ Watt in front of them. And there's a certain point, I believe, not just in football, not just in pro football, but in athletics, where you get to a certain point of achievement where the guy across from you starts to understand how much of an impact you can make and kind of subconsciously concedes a little bit. It's like, oh, that's TJ Watt. I was going to miss that block anyway. Oh, it's Tom Brady. I mean, he threw it right in there. I don't know what else we could do. You know what I'm saying? So when you achieve at that level consistently, you start to get a mental edge on the opponent because they're sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm probably going to, subconsciously even, you know, you got guys that are competitors that are going to say, no, I don't care who it is. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to perform against this guy. And it's like, yeah, that's great. And that might be what they truly, Lord, might be truly what they believe on the conscious end, but subconsciously, you're playing offensive tackle in the National Football League and TJ Watt's lined up across from you. He's got a little bit of a mental edge on the first snap of the game. I don't care what's happened. And that's because he's built up so much momentum over the course of his career, supercharged that damn defense and the ability, the confidence in that defense to go out there and get it done in Pittsburgh. They are going to be in it just like they have been in the mix every single year. I'm not saying Pittsburgh's a Super Bowl contender, but in terms of the best defensive front in the league, I don't think it's a question that Pittsburgh has got that nailed down. You got Cam Hayward sitting there in the middle, a couple other guys wreaking havoc. I mean, Pittsburgh absolutely has dominated the first 2 weeks on defense, specifically up front. When you have domination up front in football, everything else seems to kind of just fall into place. Everything becomes easier. On offense, too, when you get a push up front every play, it's pretty hard for the rest of the offensive scheme to just open up. Football is very simple. If you can run the ball and there's a threat that you can get chunk yardage on the run, then the pass game is going to open up. And if your receivers can get open and your quarterback can put the ball on them, the passing game becomes easy. And that all stems from getting push up front, which is why I was so damn surprised with that Kentucky-Georgia game. Kentucky was holding strong up front, especially defensively. Kentucky, I believe, put on one of the – if you factor all things in, if you factor talent in, if you factor skill in, if you factor each program, Georgia and Kentucky's prowess in, Kentucky might have put up one of the best defensive performances I've seen in all of college football so far this year. They were holding them steady up front every play and stuffing the run consistently against the number one team in the land. It'll be interesting to see how the polls rank, what the new polls are. In fact, let's take a look. If Texas took the top spot. Texas did take the number one ranking away from Georgia. And Texas absolutely ate. Forget who they played. They were big favorites, whoever the hell they played. And Arch Manning, the nephew of Peyton and Eli, comes out. I believe he threw for four, ran for another, and hit a top speed of 20.1 miles per hour. I saw a damn meme on X, and it's one I've seen a lot. It was Peyton Manning on the sideline during his NFL career, except they made him black, and they said, we knew this was true. We didn't know that the Manning family had these genetics in them. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of extra calf muscle going on, baby. But no, I mean, I think it was like it was longer than 60 yard run Arch Manning had. I know that. And just absolutely outran everybody on that defense. I wish I could remember who Texas played, but nonetheless, they beat the hell out of whoever they played, and they take the top spot. Georgia goes down to number two after, I don't know, man. I don't know if Georgia just performed lackluster or if Kentucky just played lights out. Nonetheless, margin for error is like that. Georgia comes out on top. What else do we got? Panthers benched Bryce Young, their number one pick from 2023, after 2 weeks. He hasn't thrown a single touchdown, and he's thrown three picks. And looks like Bryce Young got pressured a good bit. Here's the deal. Jim Harbaugh started out 2-0 with the Chargers. His brother, John, is 0-2. And you'd think that that script would be completely flipped. If you had to call it which Harbaugh brother preseason would be 0-2 and which one would be 2-0, it'd be pretty easy to say, oh, John Harbaugh with the Ravens is going to be the one that's 2-0. Not the case. Script flipped. Chargers, we saw Jim Harbaugh mention in the offseason that he regarded offensive linemen as weapons, and I think he's held true to that statement because the Chargers look reinvented up front, and the main beneficiary of their success up front has been their new running back, J.K. Dobbins, who's had 200-plus yard rushing games to start the year. Chargers have looked dominant. And it's hard to go against a guy like Harbaugh. It's the NFL. They're going to lose some games. And I think the Ravens, just like the Bengals at 0-2, you're going to see him in late January. That's why you play 17 games. If it was a two-week season, playoffs would look a lot different than the 17-week season. So, Chargers beat up on the Panthers. Vikings with Sam Darnold. On the show, not a month or 2 months ago, we're talking about how things are dire for the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy out. The receivers are getting DUIs, getting hurt. They had a guy die. They had I think that was all. My brain may be failing me. But nonetheless, you get Sam Darnold in there, who is a veteran whose stock has not gone much higher as of late. You put him with a receiver like Justin Jefferson. You put him with a head coach like Kevin O'Connell. And it just goes to show, and this is probably a two-week overreaction, the Vikings are going to lose some games, but it just goes to show that when you take a quarterback, maybe a veteran that's a bit beleaguered, hope I use that word correctly, and you put him with the right folks, he can step in and he can thrive. And they've shown that with one of the best plays all week, 97-yard bomb to Jay Jettis.
Jay Jettis.
Beating on your chest. They beat the Niners, and the Niners played an extensively good game week one on Monday night against the Jets. Jets beat the Titans, and Aaron Rodgers gets his first win in his full game as a Jets starter. He'd probably tell you it's his second win, going back to that Monday night where he tore his Achilles on the fourth play against the Bills. But nonetheless, Titans head coach Brian Callahan came out to the media after the game and talked about a decision Will Levis made. He said that something that Will Levis did was dumb. And he used those words verbatim. It's Brian Callahan's first go around as a head coach. I'm not an expert on coaching. Everybody's style is different, but I don't think that you go to the media and you say stuff like that to the media. I think that's something that you tell your quarterback behind closed doors. And I think saying something that your quarterback did was dumb to the media right after the game is only something that could hurt your team's culture. Levis was trying to make a play, and there were guys on him, and he just tried to make a little lateral in the backfield to his running back. Maybe it was a receiver. The Jets recovered the fumble, and it cost the Titans at least 3 points. And now I know it was a one-possession game. So what do you do? I think you go tell your quarterback that behind closed doors. I don't think you go to the media and you say, well, that was dumb. I just don't believe in that. But I'm not an expert on coaching. I just ain't. Cardinals here in Phoenix Glendale, might I correct myself, absolutely dominated the Los Angeles Rams 41-10. Marvin Harrison Jr. finally came out and showed the world why he was the number two overall, I think, number two overall pick. Went for like 130 yards in the first quarter, scored two TDs, and we're seeing the Kyler Murray that I think a lot of Cardinals fans and Kyler Murray proponents imagined that he would be. He's moving around. He's creating big plays. He's got the arm to make long completions. He's got the legs to make something out of nothing. And the Cardinals could be a team that surprises folks. I'm not too terribly sold on them yet, in the sense that they could be a playoff team, but I've been wrong before, and I'm sure I'll be wrong many more times over the course of this season. But
you've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
1-1, Cardinals after week two are, and you have a dominating win against the Rams. I know Cooper Kupp got hurt and is expected to be out for an extended period of time. So that leaves the Rams without a few of their starting offensive linemen. It leaves them without their top two receivers, Nacua and Kupp, and things are looking dire for the Rams fast. You might see another 500 season or sub-500 season from the Rams. I still believe that Sean McVay is one of the great head coaches out there, but he might have a personnel problem fueled by injuries, and that's just how it shakes in professional football. Let's see what else we got. I got to piss. Oh, I don't know, man. Are the Cowboys just hosed? Or are the Saints that good? I think Alvin Kamara is an X-factor player that, when healthy, is a game changer. And we saw that on Sunday. But are the Cowboys cooked, man? Like, just paid Dak, just paid CD. CD Lamb has delivered so far, but is the Saints offense this good, or is the Cowboys defense got some questions to answer? I don't know. You know, it's just, it's one of those things that it's why you play the game. It's why you play the game. And let's get it straight. Dallas has a reputation for perpetually underperforming their expectations. They've got the most valuable franchise in football, in all of sports, really. They're up there with the New York Yankees. They're up there with all the most valuable franchises valued at about $9 billion, I believe. Jerry Jones, their owner, is one of the greatest salesmen I've ever seen in my life. In fact, I take inspiration from him from time to time. But do all those factors contribute, especially, of course, their fan bases factor into this as well. Do all of those factors contribute to these perennially high expectations that the Cowboys face season in, season out? They've got the personnel to have good teams every season. Mike McCarthy's got a track record of success, and I hear a lot of Cowboys fans consistently calling for his head when they underperform, as they have. But Mike McCarthy's got a Super Bowl. I understand it was with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback during an MVP caliber season for Aaron Rodgers back when he was in his prime. But I don't think that's rational for Cowboys fans to call for his head. It's more than just the head coach. So, I don't know. Joe Burrow really proved everybody wrong that said that he was different, myself included. During the game, he stood in the pocket. He stayed composed. He hit big throws in big moments. Trey Hendrickson, I mean, golly, guy stole the game against the Chiefs. Commanded so much attention. I feel like he was getting held every play. He didn't get home. Like I said, that margin for error against a great team is just really thin. You got a rookie back there on the last play to get one of the last plays of the game, 4th and 16. Chiefs are in desperation mode. You got a young rookie, 7th rounder, DeJon Anthony, I believe, number 33. Got really excited, jumped up the guy's back early. But if you look at it in real time, it was kind of a bang-bang play where you think, could the ref have let that one go? The ref was never going to let that one go. But could he have? I'm biased, okay? And I'm going to be hung up on that game until next week where the Bengals host the Commanders at home. But it's a hard pill to swallow, bro. I felt hung over after that, waking up from that game. Trying to think, oh yeah, Bears played the Texans on Sunday Night Football. Bears defense looks impressive. They look stout. They look dialed. But good defense is only going to help you if you can get some points on offense, and Caleb Williams looked really flustered back there. He missed some long throws. He missed some short throws. He was getting flushed out all night, and that's if he wasn't getting sacked right on the spot because third down, passing down comes along. The Texans send pressure, and the Bears just had no answer for the Texans' pressure. They got that big boy, Will Anderson. They had a couple of interior defensive linemen come in and make some sacks, and there was one in particular where I think the one play, there was a passing down. The Bears had a tight end. I think it was Cole Kmet trying to come across the formation and chip the guy coming off the edge, and the block just got missed. And Williams didn't even see it. A guy just came up his back, pause, hit the hell out of him. Bears were lucky that Caleb Williams didn't get hurt on that play. That was the kind of night it was for the Bears, and the scoreboard won't reflect it. It was a one-possession game. Any way you cut it, I believe the spread was pushed. But the Texans, the narrative of the Texans-Bears game was the Texans, every time they sent a blitz, they at least got pressure, if not got home. So, Texans start 2-0. It's hard to argue that the Texans won't be in it in the thick of things, mid to late January. The Bears, on the other hand, I think you'll see them go about 500. Maybe 7-10, maybe 8-9. That's 17. I just had to do the math in my head. But, you know, that's kind of the lay of the land these days. I don't know what else I'm missing here, but yeah. Steelers beat the Broncos. We talked about that. Might be time to believe in Sam Darnold. Giants get beat by the Commanders. Jaden Daniels ties, I believe, the NFL record, or took the NFL record for most rushing yards by a rookie quarterback in the first 2 weeks. Kind of a meaningless stat, but nonetheless, I think it speaks to Jaden Daniels' versatility and potential playmaking ability on the ground as a young quarterback. I'm trying to make sure I recap the whole week. Colts go down to the Packers in Lambeau to Malik Willis. Matt LaFleur game planned that game beautifully for Malik Willis. Just looks like Anthony Richardson's lacking on consistency, and I think we all expected that. He's a hell of an athlete. He makes great plays here and there. Kind of what I would call a flash player, flash in the pan player. Let's say you got 4 plays. Let's say you got 10 plays. And out of those 10 plays, you make two plays that are just like, holy shit, this guy's Jesus. This guy could move a mountain. This guy could fight off grizzlies and gators. But then the other eight plays just kind of like, what the, what do you, you know, not good. That's what you call a flash in the pan player. I've seen a lot of them over my years playing ball. I've seen a lot more watching ball. And I hope Anthony Richardson proves me wrong. Indy's a former employer of mine, and I always want him to do well. And I think I say that about once every show. But it just, his decision-making seems spotty at times. I believe he missed some throws. And the Colts are dropped to 0-2 against Malik Willis on the road in Lambeau. So, other than the Texans, it's not looking good in the AFC South. The Titans don't look good. The Jaguars definitely don't look good. They dropped a road loss to the Browns, and that's Trevor Lawrence's seventh straight start that he's lost after they pay him $55 million before the season. And the Colts are also 0-2. So, AFC South not looking good. I said that the AFC South was going to be one of the best divisions not a few months ago on this damn show. And that might go on Freezing Cold Takes. It depends on how many subscribers we get from this episode. And by the way, like, comment, and subscribe on this show. That felt forced because it was. Hit the subscribe button. Helps us out. What else? What other games? I think we covered most of them. Patriots drop a game to the Seahawks. Okay. 3 points. I said last week that New England might not be as bad of a team as you think they are. And I stand by that. New England was in the game late against the Seahawks. And the Seahawks head coach McDonald starts his head coaching career 2-0. I don't think the Seahawks will be a contender long term in the season, in this 2024 season, but Geno Smith just continues to hang in there. The Seahawks continue to be an organization that isn't not respected. Just don't know if they have the guys to make a long-term push. Okay. I think that's all we got. I mean, the Bills-Dolphins game on Thursday night isn't even worth talking about. I mean, it's really concerning when you see a guy like Tua go to the ground after getting hit in the head. And you know, like that kind of seemed comedic. It wasn't. I've seen too many guys get concussed like that in person, and it never gets less scary. It never does. And their arm goes straight, or they're like convulsing. It's like so fucking scary. And I thought Tua had gotten more concussions than he did. Apparently, it's only his third. So I don't think he'll retire. The Dolphins signed that quarterback that backed up Lamar in Baltimore, Tyler Huntley. I think that's his name, Huntley. I remember him because he stepped in the playoffs for Lamar a couple years ago, I believe. Think he went to UCLA, I think. But no, I mean, think about Tua's concussion, his third concussion, is that you got to get down, man. You got to slide in a moment like that. I know you're competitive. I know you're trying to make a play in a game. But you got to protect yourself. And more importantly, you got to protect yourself personally for the sake of your family. Tua's got kids. And it's just, you know, I'm looking at the screen cap of it right now. He's putting his head down. I get it. He's trying to make a play. But especially if you have a history of concussions, you got to just get down. That's why the quarterbacks wear the red jerseys in practice. That's why you don't touch the quarterback in practice. Not only personally are they important to their families, but they're very important to a football team, and you saw how the rest of that game, Buffalo and Miami, ensued on Thursday night. So, I don't know. I hope he comes back stronger than ever. I hope he wears a Guardian cap. I hope he finds the right helmet for himself, and I hope Tua learns to just slide. Just get down, brother. Just get on down. All right, I think that's the majority of the NFL recap for this week. Let's get some clips. I saw some good juice this week. I'm excited to show it.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
They do, and now we can capture these kind of moments. He looked like a drum major from Burlington Coal Factory. They done hyped him up to go outside of this damn Billigan's and mess with these people on the porch trying to drink. Those are elite sandals. Like, this is the elite. This is like a bear and me at the cookout, Frankie Beverly Mays, Episcopal Evangelist short set.
Why he look like Rick Ross?
If you had an Evangelist basketball team, I would want them to wear this. This is what every Nigerian scammer wants to wear after they hit the lick on your grandmother. The way that he is focused, I'm trying to figure out what school this is. This is not FAMU, bro. This is not...
I think it's HBCU in Birmingham.
Know about, but I'm glad that he represents his HBCUs. He's making one. Somebody, like, this ain't going to help recruit none. Everybody in here 40.
He feeling himself.
You know, this is what happens when you got the 50-year-olds around the 40-year-olds. This is what happens. She piped him up. See how she opened the door? She got up out the door. See, that's a good... You see that face?
That's a good wife.
He done popped that blue tree and somebody finna get it. You hear me? He finna tell somebody grandma out the frame.
Talk to him.
With them sandals on. This outfit come with a vape pen and a Cadillac.
No.
You don't understand. This is the biggest flex you can do when you're 50, 60 years old. Them knees is all you got left.
Oh, my goodness. Unc was feeling himself, dog. You know, you see a middle-aged black man, 50s, 60s. And you know he knows he's fitted. And you know he knows that when he step out the whip, that everybody watching. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like an old OG that's got the hat on. Laid out his fresh fit the night before. He steps out. His lady's gassing him up. But he still wink over at the cutie across the bar just for sport. You know what I mean? Damn type of uncle that's got the Bluetooth earpiece in his right ear. And he gets a call from his boy, but he's out and about. He taps the earpiece. He says, "I'll call you back later. I'll give you a call, but I bet." Bang. You know what I mean? The type of unk that wakes up in the morning and still reads the newspaper publication. The local publication, just to make sure he knows what's going on in his community. You know what I mean? We got to protect guys like that at all costs. Who did it? Getting hot in here. You know what I mean? Woo! Anyway, brother, that guy that was, I don't want to say he's roasting him. He's kind of just scoping out the situation. By the way, I think this was a bar in Birmingham somewhere. One of my boys sent it to me and told me it was in Birmingham. He still lives there, so he must know what spot this is at. But let me tell you, man, Birmingham has got always will. Birmingham, Alabama's got a great thriving community of good black folks, man. I miss Birmingham a lot for a lot of reasons. It's like a second home. But you go out in Birmingham and you see stuff like Unk coming out of the bar, his lady holding the dough for him, knowing that he's about to stunt out of that door, dancing. He knows he's fitted. He's talking to all the honeys, like I said, just for sport. He's got his damn sport mode, Croc sandals on, whatever you want to call them. Birmingham's a hell of a spot. Good food, good people. Everybody cares about football. Everybody asks you how you're doing. Birmingham's always had a thriving black community and resilient folks. You know what I mean? It wasn't easy to live in Birmingham as a black person, I'd imagine, in the 50s and 60s and onward. You know what I mean? It's a great community with a lot of history. All right, what do we got next? Hell awesome. Yeah.
Good job. He's looking good today.
Hell yeah.
He's off.
Hell yeah, you got damn Sir Lancelot in pajamas, Black Lancelot in pajamas, you know what I mean? Deadlifting a damn dumpster. He got his movement in for the day. Here's the deal, and I wasn't planning on going on this tangent, but if you ain't getting up in the morning and moving your body a little bit, even if it's getting up in front of a dumpster and deadlifting that thing, you ain't doing it right. You got to get up and damn light you a cigarette. No, don't do that. Get up and damn leash up the dogs. Go say hi to Miss Parker sitting on the porch. Walk them around. Get some sunlight on your chi-chis. You know what I mean? That type of thing. I take living out in the Arizona sun for granted a little bit. Most mornings you pop out, you know you're gonna get some sun. But even if you get up and you got a dumpster out in the back of your damn apartment complex and you go up in that thing, you get in front of it, you say hi to the damn raccoons in the dumpster. One of them's Fred, the other one's Fred Jr. You just say, hey boys, hey, I ain't gonna hurt you. I just need to deadlift this damn dumpster so I can get my morning movement in. I don't think Fred and Fred Jr. would be too mad at you. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you bring them a little piece of scrambled egg that you had for breakfast. That's the other thing. You wake up, you get you some good breakfast. Maybe grab it out of the dumpster. Times is hard. You know what I mean? Light you up a cigarette, ash that thing on the floor, throw it out. Don't do it in the desert, though. Start wildfires. I saw a damn wildfire driving back from northern Arizona one evening, and the sky was lit up. It was sad, and it was beautiful. It looked like Mordor. I had never seen that before. I grew up in Kentucky. It's wet. You know what I mean? You don't see wildfires in Kentucky, but in the desert you see him. And I'd imagine that wildfire was probably started from a fella that probably ashed a cigarette, didn't put it out. All that to say, get your morning movement in. You know what I mean? What we got next?
Well, I've been called you, Cole. I said, Cole, take a shot. We're going to the game. You should start getting ready then. You.
He's jarred up.
You should have been started getting ready, bro.
Oh, he getting the knuckles ready.
I don't care about what bad man. No bad man. man. You finna be a knocked out man.
Free man.
Say what?
You ready to box, man?
What you wanna do?
Huh? Ready to box.
Yeah, talking, bro.
Take about that, jump, man.
Yeah.
Hold on, man. He mad.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Taking all day, go.
Call
taking all day, man. Go.
Put your hand on the road.
Take your
blood stain, man.
You know what I mean? Hey, my boy was late. You know what I'm saying? It was a long day. Had some business he had to attend to. I've been there. Think he got a little bit of the syndrome, too. You know what I mean? That might have been obvious. I didn't notice when I first saw the clip that my boy might have had Down syndrome. Everybody's got a little Down syndrome in them. You know what I'm saying? I got more than most. And I'm also trying to be better at not taking all damn day to take the to not be late to stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm being hard on myself. I've been pretty on time the last couple months, but let me tell you, man, when you get in that shower and that warm water starts running down your back, on the back of your neck specifically. And the thoughts get flowing, the steam starts going up to the ceiling. It's hard to say, ah, shit, I got this. I got to go dove hunting here, and I don't know. I don't think I'd shower before going dove hunting. I don't know. Is that a psychological fallacy to say I'm not going to shower before an activity that I know I'm going to have to shower after? Is that a fallacy? I saw something on X is going viral again. I've sent it to Allie like 3 or 4 times, my girlfriend. Because she always telling me, like, you're out in public. You gotta wash the public off of you. You got to wash the public off of you before you get in my bed. And I was like, damn, bro, I went to get donuts at Trader Joe's. You know what I'm saying? You're really going to make me shower? I'm tired, bro. Yes, I'm going to make you shower. Get in. It's like, fuck. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. I feel oppressed when she tells me to get in the damn shower and wash the public off me. What if I want the public on me? You know what I mean? But back to the point. You know, like, you get in that shower. You got a place to be. But sometimes the thoughts, the ideas, they start flowing, you know? Shower's a sacred place. A lot of idea flow. God coming down, talking to you with that warm water on you, boy. It's like an elevated state. It's like modified meditation hanging out in the shower. So I understand why the boy was late to the ball game or wherever the hell they were going. You know, he running on his time. He's a boss. He's a G. G's run on their own time. A wizard is never late. What's that quote? I think it's Lord of the Rings. Hobbit. I don't know, man. A wizard is never late. He runs on his own time. I don't know, man. I don't know. But you hop in and you know, especially on a Saturday. Sweet. It's Saturday. You get on your own time and then folks start to press you about why you're late to the damn cantina for drinks at 5 p.m. And you say, brother, I'm running on me. I ain't running on E. I'm running on me. I don't get tired. I don't know. All that to say, I've been better about being on time for folks. I get it's important. Never late to a business meeting. Never late to a date. But everything else, man, it's like, hey, we gonna get to it when we get to it. All right, that's the show. Episode 36 of In the Jar is complete. Like, comment, subscribe. Yeah, baby. Good friends,
my good whiskey and good loving. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving me all of them to get me by. Take my money, take my rings. I'd trade it all for just three things. Good friends, my good whiskey, and your good loving. Ba down, bow now, ba down, bow now, ba down, now, now,
normally we start it with a song, but guess what? We just ended it.
Like, comment, and sub to the damn channel. We going up, and we'll be here week in and week out. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you next week on In the Jar with your boy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.